Hi, I'm Jeannie Patel-Thompson from ListenToYourFreedom.com, and today we are going to talk about a kind of under-recognized or underrated aspect of time management, and that is simply finding the time to work. So every other aspect of time management seems to assume that we have this big chunk of time each day that we can just block off and how to avoid getting distracted by emails and phone calls and whatnot. But how about the people like you and me who have young kids, or maybe you already have a full-time job and you're setting up your business on the side, or you have a chronic illness or some other condition that eats up a lot of your time and you're just kind of wasted on the couch and you can't move or get up. For people like that, our time in itself is so restricted and there's so many demands on our time, and how do we actually carve out a decent amount of time to plan a business, work on a business, set up a business, get it running, and then keep it running. So that's what we're going to talk about today, and I have a number of questions that people have sent in, and we're going to use those. I've pulled out the ones that are really awesome, and we're going to use those questions. So first question. Jeannie, I have 4 kids, and my products are all audio-based. My youngest is only 2, and I hardly ever get silent time to record. There's always a noise, or one of the kids knocks on my door. It's driving me crazy. Do you have any ideas? So that is just awesome, because, you know, I have young kids too. And this woman is in a particular difficult spot because her youngest is 2. So if her kids were school age, they would be in school for 6 hours a day. And in that case, she could put a sign on her door and, you know, her front door to make sure nobody knocked or rang the bell, or just tape up her bell and say not working over it. Then you would unplug all the phones in your house. If you have noisy pets, you would have a place that you lock them away. So let's just digress a minute. Whether you're shooting audio or video, understand, because when I understood this, it gave me a lot of freedom, because I thought, oh my gosh, I am running around half an hour getting everything arranged so I can shoot a video. What's wrong with me? That's normal. I once talked to a business coach, and he said he has an 18-point checklist of things that he has to arrange so that they're silent and there's no interruptions before he can press the record button on his video camera. So understand that based on your situation, there's going to be a whole bunch of things that you're going to need to do to ensure you're not interrupted and nobody makes a noise, makes a bang, phones you, right? So I go around and I unplug every phone in my house. People have to put notices on their door, tape up their doorbell. There's all kinds of things. And if you organize that into a checklist, the stress goes out of it, and you don't have to worry about forgetting something, and then you're in the middle of recording, and, you know, now your recording is ruined, or you're going to have to spend extra time editing or what have you. So that's the first thing. But now let's get back to this lady's question, because she has a child who's only 2. And that's a problem, because 2-year-olds are never quiet. Until you're, in fact, any child, I don't care what age they are, they forget. They're playing a video game and they go, yeah, and it comes through your ceiling and your recording's ruined. So you cannot record with your kids in the house or awake, and that's just the bottom line. It is what it is. So here are my suggestions if you've got a young one who's not going to be going to school. First of all, you do all your prep time for that video or that audio while the kids are around. There's actually a tremendous amount of work that has to be done before you hit the record button. So maybe you've got to test your equipment. You've got to test your audio levels. You've got to write your script. You've got to get your sales copy for after you've recorded the audio. How are you going to list it on your website or in your shop? You're going to need all the copy that goes along with that. Designing your CD covers, right? Because when you have your product for sale, you want to make it look like it's a real CD with a proper cover and a title and blah, blah, blah. So that is actually the bulk of your work. When you go to the actual recording time, we're only talking about usually 30 to 60 minutes. So when you think of it that way, it's a very small chunk of time that you need to get your kids out of the house. Or here's your other thing you can do, wait till they're all asleep. Okay, so this is where we go, okay, We have unusual circumstances. We have to think outside the box. Whenever you hit any kind of difficulty, go to what's never been done before. Go outside your normal parameters. So maybe you're thinking to yourself, are you joking me? I have young kids. That 2-year-old is up at 6 in the morning. When they go to sleep, I'm going to sleep. Really? How about if you get that child, you get your kids in bed by 8:30 or 9 o'clock. You're telling me, and you have everything ready and queued up, ready to go, so that at 9:30 you just need to press that start button. You're telling me you can't take a half an hour or an hour to record, and then you go to bed? And maybe you're getting ready yourself while the kids are getting ready. You've brushed your teeth, you're in your jammies, so you're done recording, and you can just slide into bed and go straight to sleep. The other thing that myself and also some other people I know who face this problem do is we've realized that once a week you can get away with pulling a decent chunk of nighttime work hours without it really affecting your health or your ability to cope the next day. So, you know, once a week we'll pull a work time that goes from, say, 9 till 2 in the morning. And that's 5 hours of silent, uninterrupted, just beautiful work time. Because again, if you're doing the work you love and the work that leads you to freedom and joy, it's not work. You're not sitting there going, oh, I'm exhausted, I'd rather be in bed. You're like, oh, yes, finally I get to do this, and this is so creative and it's so stimulating. And it's something that invigorates you. It's something that gives you life. It gives you energy. And if it doesn't, maybe you've picked the wrong business. So go back and go back to the beginning and start working through the process again. Okay, sorry, I got a bit of a throat thing. So the other thing you do, you get someone else to take the kids out of the house for an hour or so, whatever you need. And again, you have everything queued up and ready so that the moment they walk out that door, you're not spending half an hour of your time getting your recording environment set up or testing your equipment or this and that. You've eaten, you have a drink on your desk, you have everything ready, so you just hit record. And any spouse or partner or grandma or grandpa can handle your kids for an hour, right? Like, let's get realistic. So you get clear on what you need and you say, I need this, and ask for help, okay? So here we have another question from the opposite end of the spectrum. And this fellow says, Jeannie, I work a full-time job, and then I have to work on Listen to Your Freedom in the time I have left. My girlfriend is getting really pissed at me. She says, I don't have time for her anymore. How can I juggle my job, my girlfriend, and the new business I'm working on? Okay, awesome. So here's someone who's really at the other end of the spectrum but is having very similar difficulties. So instead of his kids banging on his door and calling for him, his girlfriend is. And, of course, you know, that's his important relationship that he wants to maintain. So I would say for you, there's a couple of things you can do. So first of all, you have to have the, honey, this is really important to me, can we work together talk? And, you know, let's call a spade a spade. If she's really a good girlfriend or someone that you might have a future with, she is going to get on board with you. She's going to understand. She's going to connect into your heart when you're speaking. And speak from your heart. Don't speak from your brain. So be really honest, be really vulnerable, and say, tell her why you want to start this business. Tell her what this means to you. Tell her where this is, you're hoping this will take you in your life, and say, basically, are you in or you out? Because I need someone, I need to be on board. And she might go, you know what? I'm really not that into you, and I was just here to have a good time and go clubbing with you every night. So that's, of course, she's not going to tell you that, but her actions will tell you that. Okay, so if she chooses to leave, it's, you know, it's a case of better off without her and glad you found out sooner than later. So that's the first step. But let's say you actually have a decent girlfriend, and she is actually, you know, you guys have actually some kind of connection beyond just partying. Then she's going to go, oh my gosh, I see how meaningful this is to you. I see how this is part of your soul journey, and I absolutely want to help you and support you in that. And maybe you can actually bring her in to do some things for you, so she gets a sense of, you know, having some skin in the game, right? So there's going to be a lot of tasks. Like maybe you don't like to write stuff, so you're always audio recording, and maybe she could do some of your transcriptions, and that's something you guys could do together. You know, you're working on one aspect of your business, and she's working on something else. And the other thing is a technique that you also use with kids or adults is you motivate them, and you say, okay, here's what I'm doing. Here's my goal. When I reach this point, we're going to, and then make it something that your girlfriend will really love, right? Does she want a trip to Mazatlan? Does she want to, is there a restaurant she's been dying to check out? Like, whatever will fit your budget, make the reward that. And then when she has to be, you know, going out with her girlfriends or sitting home because you're not available, she'll be going, no, it's okay, I'm going to take this time to, you know, read a book or do my nails because I know that he's doing that and I really want to go to that restaurant, and hopefully we'll get there. We'll get to go at the end of the month if things work out the way. You know, so you have to bring people on board with you, and you have to figure out what motivates them so that they are not resenting the time you're putting in the business but actually supporting you. And I did this with my kids, and I said, listen, because things got to a point, and I said, listen, I can be a full-time mom to you if you want. Okay, so number one, that means that I'm helping and healing and being here for three of you as opposed to the 40,000 people that I'm helping in my business. But if you make that choice, I will go with it. I will help three people rather than 40,000. The second issue here is that who pays for all the trips to Mexico? Who pays for when you guys want a new skateboard or a new iPod or a new... So we can go without those things. And they were like, oh, go without Mexico? No, Mama, go in your office, make the money. Okay? So they actually pushed me in my office and closed the door. They were like, hell no, we don't want to give up our trips to Mexico. So you have to really bring this awareness to the loved ones in your life that what you're doing is actually tied to a very clear and tangible benefit to their life. And then they'll be like going, go work. No, no, no problem. Go work. Get her done. Because they know they're going to benefit from it too. And it's not all about you. So that's my answer to that one. All right, next question. Now we're back into house and home. This woman says, now that I'm working on my business, my house is turning into a pigsty. And then I can't concentrate very well because I'm surrounded by mess and clutter. So my brain feels cluttered, and it's really slowing me down. I can't afford a cleaner yet. What can I do? Oh, this is just so, yeah. Okay, so both my husband and I, we are exactly this way. If our environment is cluttered and messy, we work at about half capacity because all of that clutter and mess, it's in your energy field. It's in your mind. And so when you sit down to work, it just really slows you down because you're working in a dirty room where you have to keep clearing space. That's energetically and mentally what's happening. So here you have two options, and we've actually done both of these, so I am speaking from experience. Number one is you make a conscious decision to go a little bit into debt to get your house cleaned. And you book a cleaner to come in once a week and clean your house from top to bottom. And that really helps you to let go of it. Number one, it's easier to maintain it during the week when you know you've got someone coming in who's going to do the whole lot. Number two, there's less to just do the maintenance during the week until the cleaner comes in. All right, so that's your one option. Your second option is to just, which doesn't cost you any money, is to just pick, well, for me, I pick two spaces. There's two spaces in my house that have to stay pristine for me to keep my mental and my energetic space clean. And that one space is my office. So put a lock on your office door. And this is another good thing for anybody who's working in a house or has people who will just forget and burst in. Put the lock on the door because the psychological rest that will induce of knowing nobody can come into your space no matter what's happening gives you, creates space in your office for you. So you put a lock on your door, or let's say you're just working in a corner of your house because you don't have room for an office, then get a beautiful piece of fabric and tack it to the ceiling and create a cubicle. All right, if you can afford curtains, put a curtain rail up and have a beautiful curtain sliding across that space, go to a garage sale and buy those folding screens and, you know, maybe decorate it with, or get your kids to paint it for you, you know, something really fun, and have one or two folding screens that, that sequester off your workspace. So you have to have a sense that this is a separate space, and then within that space, you keep it clean. Because that's very easy. You're in there all the time. You can be, you know, thinking about something or working on something and tidying up at the same time. So keep your workspace clean. The other thing for me was my bedroom had to be clean. And I found if I kept those two areas mess-free and clutter-free, I was able to stay in that I'm okay, my brain is clear, my energetic field is clear, and just power ahead on my work. So that would be my second suggestion for you to get around the mess and clutter issue. So now, just before we end this, because I know I've given you guys a lot of ideas, I want to just go real quick into some tips that I have developed over the years for when you don't have enough money to pay a housekeeper. But you just can't live with mess and mayhem around you because it just makes life too difficult. Okay, so here are my top tips. All right, now these are really geared to people with kids because my husband and I were married for 5 years before we had kids, and we didn't have any of these issues that even came up. It's just two of us. Cooking was not a chore. It was not difficult to do our laundry or keep our house clean. It could be done, you know, watching in between a TV episode or whatever. It's when you have the kids come along that this stuff really gets out of control, or maybe you're caring for an elderly parent. Then you're going to be back in the same. Or maybe, you know, you have a lot of, you know, maybe you're on a farm and you've got a ton of animals and pets and whatever. So anytime you're caring for others is when this stuff can really get away from you. So let's just get into that. Here's tip number one, the laundry, okay? Now, anybody knows if you've got two or more kids, your laundry is just going to get unmanageable really fast. So what we did is I went out and I got, there's five of us in my family, so I got five baskets. Okay, now you can use baskets, or if money's really tight, just get some bags, right? You can get really great gift bags from the dollar store that are quite big, or you can get those environmentally friendly shopping bags, or, you know, any kind of bag will do. Or even a cardboard box. Get five cardboard boxes and get your kids to decorate theirs. Great project, and then it'll look fairly nice. You know, paint them all white or something. There's a lot of opportunities that don't cost a lot of money. So you have your five laundry baskets. To throw your laundry in the washer and dryer is not a big deal. And all three of my kids, even my seven-year-old, can work those machines. So that's not an issue. You just teach your kids how to do it, or you and your husband, you know, in between a phone call, you go throw the load in the dryer. When it's done, and the kids actually love to do this, and I call it laundry basketball. So they pull the laundry. Either if you've got a big enough laundry room that your baskets can fit in the laundry room, that's ideal. But if not, they pull the laundry out into, you know, a huge laundry basket. They take the basket over to where the four or five laundry baskets are, and they pick up an item of clothing. Oh, that's mom's, and they throw it, and they have to get it in mom's laundry basket. So it takes something that would otherwise be a chore, and it turns it, and sometimes the two of my kids will like to do it together because then they'll compete and they'll keep score, okay? But either way, even if you or your husband has to do that, it takes literally 1.5 minutes for a load of laundry to just be thrown into each person's basket. And then what you tell your family members is, this is your basket. If you want to take it up to your room and fold it and put it away, you can. If you want to leave it here and just get dressed out of your basket every day, you can. The funny thing is my kids would do that. My kids ended up just coming down and getting dressed out of their basket every day, which actually had the double benefit of really cutting our amount of laundry that we did. My husband was the one who left his basket, and it piled up and up. It was going 4 feet up the wall. So then I grabbed his basket, and I carried it upstairs, and I dumped it on the floor in his section of the closet. And I said, there's all your clothes. Now I have a fresh basket so I can put more of your clothes in there. So he then took care of it. So, you know, you just have to stick to whatever you set up, and you don't have to get upset about it. You don't have to go, well, it is what it is, but here's what has to happen. Okay, I'm dumping your laundry. If it was my kids, I might have dumped it in the center of their bed, pulled their covers over it so they could find it when they went to bed, and then, you know, just for something fun, just to get them really mad, but to make a point, right? Number two, now you're thinking, oh, man, that Jeannie, she's a tough one. The number two thing that really helps is to teach your kids how to cook, right? Because not only is this a really crucial life skill, it will hugely reduce your workload if your kids can forage for themselves. Okay, so you might start off with really simple things like a bowl of cereal with, and we buy raw milk right off the farm, so it's super nutritious and safe, of course. He tests for pathogens. Protein shakes. Protein shakes are an amazing way your child can get the nutrition of, you know, like a steak without any cooking involved. So you get some really great protein powders. And, of course, got to tell you, if you don't know what those are, go to my health site, listentoyourgut.com, and take a look at what I'm selling in my shop, and then you'll know which brands to get. So protein shakes, either whey or vegetable protein, and you just teach your kids how to mix those, and you get a blender bottle. And, again, we sell those on our site, or you can get them in Walmart and almost any other place. And they just throw the stuff in there, and they shake, 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 stick a straw in and drink it. But having shakes like that will change your life. I actually have a shake every morning for breakfast. I don't waste time cooking myself breakfast. I grab a shake, I'm in my office, I'm working. And then, you know, you put all kinds of supplements and you can put things in your shake like chia seed and flax seed that really help with your bowel movements. So it's a win-win all around. And then I teach my kids how to cook simple things like eggs, scrambled eggs, fried eggs on toast, grilled cheese, tuna melt. You know, and I get the tuna ready ahead of time so it's mixed up in the fridge. Nachos. Nachos are, on, you know, organic corn chips. The easiest thing in the world. You grate up a whole block of cheese. If you use raw cheddar, the probiotics will keep it fresh. It won't go bad. You can have 3 weeks of grated cheese sitting there in your fridge and it doesn't mold. So there's things like that that you just really think, okay, what are the foods that my kids like and how can I teach them to make these things themselves? And even for things like pasta, you know, with macaroni and cheese or whatever, the Annie's brand is quite good. The kids are too scared to pour that pot or lift that pot of boiling water, and rightly so. But they do everything, and they just call me out to drain the pasta, and then I go back in my office. So I'm out there for 5 seconds as opposed to 15 or 20 minutes. So teach your kids to cook. And then the second part of that, because you're going to have older kids and younger kids. So I have a 7-year-old who can't do a lot of cooking for himself. So when my other two, who are 10 and 13, cook, I say to them, listen, if you're making food for yourself and then you make food for Hugo, who can't, write it on the calendar. I'll pay you $2 for every meal you make for him. So if you're making a grilled cheese, it takes no extra time to throw an extra grilled cheese on for him. My daughter loves to cook steak. Throw another steak in the pan. That's not even any extra work. And they write down on the calendar, $2, and then I pay them at the end of the week. So here's the other trick. You pay or motivate or reward your kids or your girlfriend or your partner or your spouse to get on board with what needs to be done to have your family or your household running successfully. So for my kids, I will, and I want to teach them how to work for money that they're motivated to work for, right? So I will tell them when they want to go to a movie, I'll say, well, yeah, you can go, but you have to pay for that with your own money. Or they want to buy a new shirt. Okay, well, how much money do you have? Right? I don't make an announcement like, okay, kids, I'm going to stop paying for anything for you, and you have to. We don't have to make it stressful. We don't have to make it tense. You just have to shift. Next time they ask for something, say, well, you got to pay for that with your own money. No, money's tight now. Mom's starting a new business, so I don't have a lot of extra money. So if you guys want money, you're going to have to do what I'm doing and start earning some. So then when you say, okay, kids, you cook for each other, it's $2 a meal. You do the laundry, it's blah, blah, blah. You do the vacuuming, you get this amount. So it's not chores, right? A chores list is useless. Your kids never do it. It causes you tremendous stress, and it takes you more time to enforce and get them to do the chores than if you just did it yourself. That's why, and I've seen, I don't know how many families do the chores thing, and I've never seen one family it works. It may work for a period of time, but never for the long term. But having a list of jobs with the payment that you get for that job, and then the kid chooses the job that they want. So, like, we went on vacation, and we rented a condo, and I said to my son, well, if you wipe up, if you clean up the kitchen every night, so you do the dishwasher and wipe the counters, you get $5, because I wanted to give them money to spend on the holiday anyway, you see, but I got them to do some chores for it. You get $5, and when you vacuum the condo, you get $4, you know, things like that. Those kids kept that condo in perfect condition the entire time we were on holiday. So my husband and I really got an extra holiday in there because the kids, and the kids were totally motivated because they go to the store and they'd see like a shark jaw that they wanted to buy and they go like, ah, it's $20. I'll do the kitchen for the next, you know, 5 days, 4 days, and then I'll have enough money to buy that. And so it was actually a really positive thing for them. So the other thing that we talked about briefly was the reward thing. Okay. So you say to your kids, here's what I need. And at the end of this, we're going to go here. We're going to go to Playland, or we're going to do that. And it's something that they really want. It's something that they're totally motivated. So every time they go, Mom, you go, Playland? Okay, go ahead, right? So the final point, and this point ties into everything we've talked about throughout this whole audio, is setting boundaries. And sorry to say, but a lot of women are very, very crappy boundary setters. And, you know, I think it's just our socialization. We're taught to nurture. We're taught to serve. We're taught to put other people before ourselves. And that's just not a good strategy for being successful and fulfilled in life. And we need to realize that, and we need to put on our big girl panties and start setting some boundaries, but not in a harsh or punitive way. You can set boundaries from a very matter-of-fact, it-is-what-it-is kind of energy, and those are the boundaries that work. Those are the boundaries that hold, because it's not like, and then you will do this for me, and you will not do this to me. That doesn't sound like someone who's standing in their power. It doesn't sound like someone who actually feels safe and confident that, well, I've set a boundary. That's what it is. You cross it, this is what's going to happen. Go for it. Right? It's a totally different energy and space. And you just say to your kids and to your spouse, because here's the other thing, and I'm sorry, ladies, but I'm going to have to call you out on this. If you're home with the kids and you're working all day and your husband's at work and he's working all day and then he comes home, why does he get to sit on his butt while you keep working for another 4 hours? That doesn't sound like partnership to me. That doesn't sound like anything remotely fair or just. Stop devaluing and undervaluing your work. When you run the home, when you do all the cooking, when you keep the house tidy, when you parent and nurture and train your human beings, your children, for success in this world, that is a tremendously difficult, tremendously important job. And your time is worth probably more than your spouse's time, who is just going to work and sitting at a desk and, you know, doing bits of paper and talking to some people. Honest to God, when my husband and I work, we call it, we're having downtime. Compared to parenting and raising the children, our business is our time off. Let's be realistic. And I remember we used to go to dinner parties, and my husband would talk like this, and the women's jaws would drop, and the husbands would be looking around the room going, shut up, mate, don't let the secret out the bag. Okay, so you guys, women, you have to stop serving everybody. You have to stop devaluing yourself and your work, and you have to start breaking it down into hour time. I worked 8 hours. You worked 8 hours. So now nobody gets to come home and sit their butt on the couch. We're both still on the clock. Until the kids are in bed, we're both working. So then you do what you do with the kids. You divide it up. Does your husband like to cook and hate to mow the lawn? Does he like to, whatever jobs there are in your household, you divide them up so that it's equal? And it's because if you try to do it all, you're going to crash and burn, and that's the bottom line. You cannot do all the work for every single person in your household and run your own business. End of. So if you need some counseling, or you need some work with a therapist to set boundaries and stand in your circle of power, go and get that help. I mean, I'm going to be giving you tools throughout this, and I'm also going to be referring you to people who can help you with that, but that is something you absolutely need to get handled. And I realize that I'm not just talking to the ladies here. I know there are a lot of men who let their kids or their spouse walk all over them and control them too. So we have to, each of us, we have to say, this is just what needs to happen. And you can't say, well, I've been married for 20 years, I've been doing it for 20 years, he's never going to change. Life is about change. And that's how marriages end in divorce, because people said, well, no, you're like this. Well, now I'm not like this. I've grown. I've changed. That's normal. That's a normal part of life. That's a normal part of a relationship. So no, I'm not the woman you married. I'm not the woman I was 10 years ago. I'm not the woman I was 1 year ago. I'm me. Here's me today. Here's what I've realized. Here's what needs to shift. So you're in or you're out. And you let that person make their choice. And you deal with the consequences as they pop up. And if that means you have to kind of sequester yourself off a little bit more, or you need to let things slide until the other person realizes, oh, she's really not going to step in and do those dishes. They are actually going to sit there. You know, you stick your boundary and you hold to it. So, all right, finding the time to work, creating time to work, setting boundaries around your work, motivating and rewarding the people around you, bringing your family and spouse and girlfriend and boyfriend in on what you're doing and getting your support. I hope I've given you some really good ideas. And then spend some time brainstorming for your particular situation and make it work. Listen to your freedom.